There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Of the many, many saints canonized in the church, some of them are incredibly relatable, like Blessed Carlo Acutis, soon to be Saint Carlo Acutis, very, very soon. He wore Nike shoes, played video games every now and then, was a normal teenager. And it's beautiful how so many can relate to him and see his holiness as something we can strive towards. There's some other saints, also incredibly holy, a little less relatable. One saint in particular, Saint Catherine of Siena. She was a force to be reckoned with. In the later years of her life, she would have a priest assigned to her, and people are her masters in charge of her said, "As many souls you are bringing to Christ, you send these souls to that priest, and they will hear their confessions." She was being so impulsive to convert to Jesus Christ. She was even so bold to go and meet the Pope and tell him what to do, and he did it. She was so holy. She had the stigmata, the wounds of Christ in her hands, her feet, and her side. Many, many visions, many miracles, constantly things. She wouldn't eat for certain times in Lent, sometimes the whole of Lent, because Jesus told her to. A little less relatable, but absolutely incredible. One of the key graces of her life, when she was around 18 years old, she lived a life, she kind of made herself cloistered. She went to her parents' room in the upper level of the house. She'd stay there all the time, would pray all day long, have some meals every now and then, go to Mass. Besides that, she'd stay in a room and just pray. Until one day, she had a vision of Jesus Christ. The saints, King David, St. John the Evangelist, and Blessed Mother were there. And Mary took her hand, raised it to Jesus, and then Jesus took a ring and placed it on her finger. And Jesus told her, "I'm wedding myself to you, engaging myself as your spouse." And from that day forward, she had a wedding ring on her finger. It said she had a giant diamond and 4 pearls, but she asked the Lord to keep it invisible while she was alive until the day she died. That the Lord espoused Catherine to himself. And it wasn't just her. In the history of the church, many, many saints have had similar visions like this when Jesus appeared to them and made them his bride. Many mystics have had this grace, and the doctors of the church say what it is to grow in deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus is to enter into union with him as to a marriage. As unrelatable as Catherine might seem at some points, that's actually not just for her. It's actually not just for the mystics who have visions and levitate. That kind of relationship with the Lord is for us. For each of us. I'm pulling a Father Zane. In our first reading today, the Lord reveals clearly to us, no more shall people call you forsaken, or your land desolate. You shall be called my delight, and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. That our God has spoken, and he has said clearly that the relationship he wants with his people is only comparable with that of marriage. The relation he has and wants to have with each soul is to be the bridegroom of each individual soul. In our gospel today, the wedding feast at Cana, we hear that Jesus Christ appears at the wedding feast, that this is the first of his signs. In the Gospel of John, a sign is not just a miracle. It is, but it's a miracle that he's trying to say something. And the sign he's saying by turning 120 to 180 gallons of water into wine is that he is the bridegroom. That if the Jewish people at a wedding feast, it is the bridegroom's responsibility to provide the wine. When the unnamed bridegroom failed at this, Jesus stepped up and showed himself as the true bridegroom of each soul. This kind of relationship, it's ultimately an analogy, yes. What's trying to get at is that the Lord wants a relationship of intimate, mutual self-gift between the soul and himself. That yes, our Lord speaks of friendship between him and the soul, absolutely. But ultimately, the only thing that actually comes close to getting at what the Lord wants is a marriage, is spousal union between Christ and each soul. If this doesn't do it for you, if you prefer a more masculine image of the gospel, then I encourage you to go to Rescued. You'll get that out the wazoo. But we cannot ignore that our Lord says this. And our Lord is actually adamant about this throughout the scriptures. He says this today in Isaiah. He says it today in the Gospel of John. He says it in the Song of Songs all the time. If you go in the oratory, you can't ignore it. The scriptures say this again and again and again. That our Lord wants this kind of union. And only this kind of union is what will satisfy him. This kind of relationship, the point of being complete mutual gift of self, can't stop there. The day that St. Catherine had that vision of our Lord, when Jesus espoused her to himself, that was the day Jesus called her to go into ministry. From that day on, Jesus said, okay, no more praying in your room all the time. You have to go out. And he sent her to the hospitals to serve, to go and proclaim the gospel on the streets. And she did, and she lived her life on mission. And she got things done. More than many, many other saints, she spread the kingdom. In the same way, we are called to two things in our life primarily, to love God and love our neighbor. That is to be in a relationship with the Lord and to be on mission for the Lord. When we're on mission for the Lord, he will give us what we need. He gave St. Catherine visions, miracles, all kinds of crazy gifts. In our second reading, we hear St. Paul speak about some crazy gifts of prophecy, healing, miracles, tongues. And again, that's not just for St. Catherine. As unrelatable as some of these gifts might sound, these are the gifts of the Spirit. And the Lord says to each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. The Lord gives each one of us some gift for the sake of proclaiming the kingdom of God and for sake of building up the body, that we were made for relationship and we were made for mission. Whatever gifts we need, whether it's prophecy, whether it's healing, whether it's just the ability to teach, whatever we need, God will supply it. And this is the last thing. We're made for relationship. We are made for mission. The greatest things we're called for, and without living these things out, we will be utterly bored and boring in life. But the caveat is, it is not comfortable. that if our Lord asks of us a union, a friendship, a relationship so close that the only thing we compare it to is marriage, part of us actually might want to say, I'd actually prefer the just friends. Or you know, I'd actually just prefer, I don't know, a little give and take, just a deal. Let's stick with that. Like, just not hell. Just a little time every now and then. But I don't want this complete mutual gift of self. Maybe when we hear we're called to mission, we might think, I'd actually rather not. I'd rather not say the name of Jesus. I might get scolded for that. I'd rather not be on mission, have my life be about proclaiming the kingdom. That we are made in the core of our beings to love God and love neighbor with all that we are to such complete degree that we give everything to him. And the part of our hearts that just wants to remain comfortable and wants to hold back just a little bit, it's there for all of us. That part we have to ask the Lord, please, Lord, give me the grace to remain in your love. The night before Jesus died for us, he commanded his apostles, as the Father has loved me, so I love you, remain in my love. And that is not an option. That is a command of the Lord. If we only remain in his commandments, if we only remain in his doing pretty well, rather than remaining in his love, which actually desires the point of wanting a mutual relationship, the point of spousal relationship. If we don't remain in that kind of love, we won't have any zeal to give ourselves in relationship to him. We won't have any kind of zeal to actually be on mission for the Lord. We'll just check boxes. We'll just help out every now and then. But the Lord is zealous, and he is a jealous lover. And if there's anything that is keeping us from giving our everything to him, he'll do what it takes to have our hearts remain in his love.